Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Wednesday, June the 4th, 2025, and we are reading from the Big Book on the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 101, the third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place through one paragraph ending with may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't, and we'll be sharing on that one paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Reva P., 12 Traditions, Christina L., and readers of the text, Judith S.P. and Susan G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, June the 3rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 22488, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 22489. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Reva P. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Reva P. And Christina L. is going to be reading our 12 traditions. Welcome, Christina.
Good morning. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating, be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose. to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Christina L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others, page 101, the third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place. Through one paragraph ending with may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. And this morning, Judith S.P. is going to be our reader. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to share. My name is Judith S.P. in Maryland. So, our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain old ordinary whoopee parties. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, providence, but it isn't. I looked up, as I was reading this before the meeting, rule and tempting providence. Rule is excuse me, a guiding principle or a way in which things are defined, either I'm on one side or the other. So the rule is, you know, after the roll of toilet paper is finished, it's a good opportunity for me to put a new roll in there. Tempting providence, taking a risk, you know, being on the edge. Is this really what I should be doing? So coming back to the content of the paragraph, I haven't really come across the rule, the word rule, often in the Big Book. I didn't have an opportunity to see how many times it's brought up, but it was interesting to me that rule is there. And then in italics, if we have a legitimate reason for being there, that's an individual question. You know, what may or may not be a legitimate reason for you is very different from me. And that's the beauty of this program, that everything is suggestive, yet there are some definitives as a general rule. So I know for myself, when I first came into the rooms, I didn't go anywhere. I wouldn't even take my food anywhere. I just hunkered down in my home, worked on my food plan, worked on the steps, and in some ways was very isolative. Yes, I would connect on Zoom or phone calls, but I really wasn't in the world. I just had this little thing I was, not little thing, big thing I was doing in my own experience. So now I realize whenever I go anywhere, I ask myself, is there a really good reason for going? I don't belabor it and spend hours on it, but what is my motive? Paul O. has a beautiful recording on the chapter, Acceptance is the Answer. And when he's not sure of something, he presented in the podcast, he asks, what would a winner in AA do? You know, what would God have me do or be? What's the loving thing to do for myself and others? So it's extremely important for me to take a pause, reflect, check in on how I am spiritually. Am I spiritually fit? Am I doing and being the person that God wants me to be? And if I can feel deep in my soul, not a checklist, but deep in my soul, that I'm doing God's will, I can travel everywhere. Because just like this meeting, we're all a part of the beauty of this life. So to hold myself back or tell a sponsee, no, I don't think you should try this. Yes, come prepared, bookend with people, bring what you need so that you feel safe and protected. But this big book, now that I've worked the 12 steps and I'm working with others, wants myself and all those that I come into contact to share who we are in the world. So there's no place I can't go. The caveat is with God and thinking clearly. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for getting us started, Judith S.P. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, which would be Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share this morning?
Katie.
Harry W.
Melissa C.
Charles H.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, because I did miss some people. I heard Katie G., Terry W., Melissa C., Charles H. Who did I miss, please?
Anna L-P-M. M.
Okay, the somebody H. M.
Elsie.
Are you saying Elsie, E-L-S-I-E?
Yes.
Okay, and there was somebody H.
Lee H.
Lee H. Okay, so we have Katie G., Terry W., Melissa C., Charles H., Elsie M., Lee H. Did I miss anybody who already said their name, please?
Anna S.
Tony B.
Okay, great. Okay, I've got everybody. Thank you very much. Katie G., Terry W., Melissa C., Charles H., Elsie M., Lee H., Anna S., and Tony B. That's our lineup. Good morning, Katie. Welcome.
Hey, Lynn. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston. And, you know, for me, I never showed up, right? I never showed up anywhere. I would intend to show up, and I would call in fat. I would call in underweight. And for me, thanks be to God, I'm recovered today. And I look at my neutrality as a gift. It's something that I don't need to test. So what I mean by that is sometimes my ego gets involved, and I think, oh, I should send my family to get more ice cream today because I need to prove that I'm neutral and I need to be powerful over food, right? Like, I can touch this food and look at me, God, look at me. And that's my ego. That's not a legitimate reason for going anywhere. And that, for me, that's trying to feel some vicarious pleasure, right? But a legitimate reason, you know, weddings and funerals and thanks be to God, when I go today, I go with my family and I look for ways that I can serve. And I will be candid with you all, when I was early in recovery, it was important for me to really be careful when I went places, and it still is. I need to be connected with God, right? That's the most important thing, that I be connected with God when I go places. So the other thing that I find super helpful is to remember, I'm not going to these places to have it be the KDG show. I'm going to these places so that I can show up, so that I can be a gift. So how can I do dishes? Can I play with the kids? Can I, what can I do to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and those around me? So again, you know, I do look at my neutrality with food as a gift, and it does need to be protected. I have nothing to prove today. I don't need to go out there and say, oh, I'm going to cut the cake, unless cutting the cake is helpful, right? And so that's what I got. Thanks.
Thank you, KDG. Next up, we have Terry W., followed by Melissa C. Welcome, Terry, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Terry W. I'm calling from Massachusetts, and this is a really... this paragraph really brings up a lot for me. You know, first of all, it says avoid places we do not have a legitimate reason for being there. The word avoid just reminds me of when I was in the food. I mean, I avoided people, places, and things no matter what. I just isolated. So that's what avoid means to me. And, you know, when I first came into the program 30-something years ago, we didn't study the big book. It was just the tools. So the 9 tools of OA, I don't know if everyone knows what they are, but it's a plan of eating, sponsorship, meetings, telephone calls, literature, writing, anonymity, service, and action plan. And those were what I lived by every day. I checked them off every single day in this program. But you know what? I was living by the skin of my teeth. I would see food and I would just eat it. You know, it was just horrific. But then, you know, they are the handrails to God, the tools. But when I read the 12 steps and studied this, the big book, you know, I had a spiritual awakening. I had a spiritual experience. So what happened is, where I became spiritually fit, the thought of food does not even enter my mind. So the word avoidance isn't even in my vocabulary because I can go anywhere, anytime, any place. And as you know, we have a purpose for going. And, you know, it's not just about me. It's about me being there for a reason. And what can I bring to the event, you know? So I think it's really interesting to see how I personally, and I bet a lot of people on this call, have really just grown from, you know, working with the tools years ago into this miracle of studying the 12 steps and being able to have a close relationship with God and my higher power. So I wanted to thank you for letting me share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry W. in Massachusetts. Good morning, Melissa C., and you'll be followed by Charles H. Hey, Melissa.
Hi, good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service. And good morning, everyone. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and it makes me remember the way that I experienced life for so many years was someday when I'm thin off. It was like that was my mantra. You know, it was like someday when I'm thin, I'll, whatever it is. And I felt like I spent so much of my life on the outside, you know, sitting in my house on the couch, looking out the window at what was happening outside. And that was a really sad way to live. And that is not, I don't believe that that's freedom, you know. And also, there were periods of time when I was thin, but I don't know if it's someone else is unmuted or if there's difficulty on the line. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, there was some background, but I think somebody's taking care of it. Thanks, Melissa.
Oh, okay, thanks. Okay, just want to make sure. Yeah, and then, you know, there were also periods of time where I would get incredible, you know, when I was beat thin, but I would be like starving myself and I wouldn't go places because there was food, or I would go places with a pouty, unhappy look on my face, pissed off that everybody was eating and I wasn't. And that's not what this is. You know, today it's like, I really can go anywhere. God gave me is to be treasured, is to be valued. But I'm also, you know, I'm also supposed to be out there, you know, being a messenger of God. I'm supposed to be his agent, and I can't be his agent in my house. You know, that doesn't work like that. When I show up places, I don't show up looking sad with my food. You know, if it's a potluck, I make a gorgeous, you know, for me, I make a gorgeous salad that anybody can partake in. And I, you know, I bring the little extra things that other people might like to include in their salads that I don't eat on the side. And I, you know, or whatever it is, but I try to show up with a spirit of giving. You know, and the other thing I think is that I now, not only do I think about it in terms of food, but I go places only if I have a legitimate reason for being there. You know, I used to fall on one hand, someday when I'm thin, and then I also had this FOMO thing, this fear of missing out. And so I would often go places not really wanting to be there, but not wanting to not be there because it was happening. And I'm learning, you know, thank God in this program, I'm growing the hell up. I'm 56 years old. And today, yeah, I don't go everywhere just because I'm invited, you know, and I don't go everywhere just because other people are there. I go and I believe I have a legitimate reason for being there. And to me, a legitimate reason means that I'm to increase the pleasure, offer service to someone else, you know, whether it's my family, my friends, my colleagues. And if I think that it might not be safe for me, then I don't go, you know. But it really has very little to do with food these days. You know, it's more getting out. I don't go places where I think there's too much controversy, where I feel
time,
like there's
please.
Too much arguing. And when I go that way, I'm not tempting Providence. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. Charles H., good morning. It's your turn, followed by LCM. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Lynn. Good morning. So respectfully, if I go to a barbershop, I'm going to get a haircut, whether I'm a Rastafari or not, right? You know, so the text talks about, you know, it's one of the directives. I better have a legitimate reason to go there. Yeah, I could say I'm recovered and make foolish decisions like it talks about in the 11th step, right? You know, just being, it doesn't say word for word, but just, you know, just having started this way of life, I might get caught up in absurd, foolish things. Like, for example, going to McDonald's and preaching, or going on a 5 train in New York City and preaching the gospel instead of being a spiritual fruit. I'm a religious nut, or I'm a big book nut, right? Like, I can go crazy with it, right? You know, as I recover, right, I realize that, you know, some humility needs to be in this thing, right? Like, you know, it's great to carry the message, but not at my expense of self-destructing, right? Like Bill did that in the beginning. It didn't work out too good for him until he found Dr. Bob and Bill W. and Ebby, right? Those guys, right? You know, a wise person on this line told me God uses broken people like me and you to help broken people like me and you. Just because you hear some people that sound a little overconfident, that sound like they're playing God, they'll be all right. They'll simmer down. It'll be okay because life experience will humble you. Let me tell you, I was the first. I knew as soon as the moderator said, who would like to, I was on there like just running my mouth. There's two things. I don't like that number two. There's one plus thing I need to know. What goes in my mouth and what comes out of my mouth. I want to reiterate, if I go to a barber shop, I'm going to get a haircut. I'm a recovered crackhead. I'm not going to no crack house to say, hey, you need to stop smoking crack. I'm going to get that butter, and I'm going to town. And I just wanted to hit y'all off with the old Charles Dates, the little aggressive, because some of y'all be like, yo, I missed that. All right, let me hit you with some of that. All right, but with that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles H. LCM, it's your turn, followed by Lee H. Good morning, Elsie, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. This is LCM, a recovered compulsive overeater from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you for letting me share and for everybody being here this morning. I was at a charity event last night, and I had checked out ahead of time what the circumstances were going to be, and I ate my dinner at home before the event so that I wouldn't have to deal with, you know, whatever foods they had or what they didn't have. So I had a reason to be there. It was a fundraiser for my son's program that he's in for his autism, and I had a role to play at the event. So I believe God wanted me to be there. But the other thing is that I also, what someone else has already said, is that I had to make sure I was in good spiritual condition. I used to eat over autism things. I used to go and get, I'd go to a meeting that was involved with my son's program, and I, on the way home, I'd stop at a convenience store and I would get bags of Swedish fish and eat them on my way home and then throw the bags out before I went in the house. That's not where I am today. I can go to these events and I can be of service, and I'm in good spiritual condition because I'm living in 10, 11, and 12 today. And so it makes such a big difference. I mean, from where I was years ago to where I am today, and that I don't have to eat over that stuff. Because it does bring up grief. You know, nobody really wants the kid to have autism, but it does allow for me to be that different person today. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much. Again, my name is LCM from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, LCM. Lee H., it's your turn, followed by Anna S. Good morning, Lee.
Well, good morning, Lynn. This is Lee, and I spell my name L-E-E. I'm from Tennessee, and this paragraph is so timely, and I appreciated all the previous shares about it. I get so much out of your shares, and you give me ideas, give me options as to how to live my life with this, you know, continuing thing that goes on in my head that, you know, tempts me to want to eat over situations and, you know, medicate my negative feelings and things like that. I'm also going to an event tomorrow, a family event, where we're going to be celebrating my autistic cousin's 70th birthday. And he never married. And so he, you know, I mean, the only family he has are just a bunch of us first cousins. And 20 of us are going to gather around him to celebrate his birthday. And, you know, years ago, I would have been thinking about, you know, the food, obviously. And my family sort of idolizes the dessert, you know, part of the gathering. And it was always like, oh, good, we get to eat the food and then this incredible dessert. And I don't have to go there anymore. I don't have to think about that part of the gathering. And I was just sitting here praying about, well, how can I show up for John, my cousin, you know, how can I bless him? And I just believe the idea came to paint a little painting for him. That's kind of what I do anyway. And I'm so grateful that I'm just looking forward to just blessing him. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, going to be looking at the food, and I am taking something I love the ideas I get. I remember a few meetings back where someone mentioned a big salad, and that's what I like. That's what I like to do, and that's what I'm going to be doing. And it's just great to know that I can go somewhere where there is going to be a lot of food, and particularly the, you know, the sugary stuff. And it's funny because they think that I'm known as the cousin that doesn't eat sugar, which, you know, it's not about that anymore. It's really not. And so I'm just praying that God will, if it's his will that I go, you know, I have a husband with Parkinson's who may have a bad day today, and I may have to cancel the trip, and that's okay too. I'm just wanting to be useful to God today. And anyway, thanks so much for letting me pass. I pass.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. Now we have Anna S., followed by Tony B. Good morning, Anna, and where are you calling from, please?
Yeah, hi, this is Anna S. from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and grateful to be on the meeting this morning. And it's been several weeks since I've shared. I haven't felt called to share on a lot of the topics. You know, I have a little over 6 months. I've been in the program a little over a year and a half. And I don't know how I do what I do. I go on a lot of meetings, and I hear a lot of people, you know, talking about not being able to put the food down. And I am a very sick person. You know, it's been a little over 6 months since I almost unintentionally almost killed myself with, you know, sugar-free candies and laxatives after surgery, you know, because they're laxatives. And when I first started the program, I went through so many sponsors because I wasn't willing to listen to any of them. You know, I don't know how many, at least 15, 12, 15, I don't know. And then after my surgery, you know, I got other sponsors who ended up firing me because I wouldn't listen to them. So finally I got a sponsor who's, I mean, he's like a pit bull, you know, and I work with a dietitian and an endocrinologist, and they'll come up with, you know, what I need to do and when. And he'll be like, oh, no, they're going to add that. What are they going to take away from lunch? What are they going to take away from breakfast in order for you to do that? How do I do that? How? I don't know. It is a miracle. It is a miracle that I am not hungry. When I stay with a piddly little one-quarter cup oatmeal, okay, and then I have my little piddly egg salad for lunch. And then I get 3 ounces of protein, not 6 ounces, not 12. I get 3 ounces of protein, okay, for dinner, and 1 carb and 2 cups of vegetables, okay? And then I get 1 cup, 1 measured cup of milk before bed. How is it that I'm not hungry? I will tell you, I make phone calls and I'm not hungry. If I don't make phone calls, I get hungry. Then I go to meetings. If I don't go to meetings, I get hungry. I can't explain it. If I don't go to meetings, I get hungry. If I go to meetings, I'm not hungry. And now there's this honesty piece, okay? If I'm not fully honest, like people be like, I can't believe you shared all that. Oh, my God. If I am not fully honest, the good, the bad, the ugly, I get hungry, okay? I'm dying. I am literally dying, and I cannot afford to relapse. And I continue doing what I am doing because it makes it so I'm not hungry. It makes it so that I can follow the prescribed food plan by my dietitian and endocrinologist that my sponsor, who is a pit bull, enforces. And the only way that I'm able to do that is by making phone calls, going to meetings, and being honest. And he said, oh, don't worry, there's going to be more, okay? There's going to be more, but we're not there yet, okay? But
time,
I just
please.
Want to share that with all of you, and I'm so grateful to be here, and with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna S. from Wisconsin. And now we have Tony B. from Scotland. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for your service. My name's Tony B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. And thank you for the shares. And this is a deadly disease. And thank God that we have this solution. And things are laid out really clearly for us. We're given such good directions. So my thoughts on this paragraph, you know, a lot of these things are relevant to me too. Same with the food, you know, the gatherings, parties, outings at restaurants or in a pub, meals at someone's house, the crisps and sweet aisles at the supermarket, that were varying a bit, that would be the alcohol aisle, I suppose. Being on an aeroplane, any kind of travel, you know, once I leave the house, food's all around. And when I'm in my disease, I was either saying I've got such a strong will, there's no way I'm going to eat it, and refusing things, or getting my fix, and nothing could have stopped me from getting my fix. I didn't want to shield myself when I wanted to be in the food, and there was no way of shielding myself. I'd have found a way to eat. You know, I've binged going through other people's cupboards, and there seems to be nothing in there, but I've found a packet of plain biscuits or something and just stuffed them in. Or I'd start my plan for the stealth mission, you know, gathering coins from all the corners of the house and stealing from others in the house on a one-track mission, you know, where's open, where can I get it? I've been at vending machines in my slippers with my coat over my pajamas, walking quick to the shop, nobody get in my way. You know, there's such a strong desire for it. Nothing could have stopped me when I was in the disease. And that sweet relief, getting home, getting into my binge foods. Thank God I'm in recovery now. Things are different. Now I don't need to avoid places, really, whether I've got a legitimate reason for being there or not. In early abstinence, yes, it was certainly wise for me to avoid places. But once recovered and free, it's not an issue for me, as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, as long as every day I'm doing what I need to. And I need to be careful. It's prelapse. If I start to think to myself that, maybe this would be a good idea, or things down the outside a bakery, I'm lingering a bit too long. I'm in prelapse and I need to be very careful. So I do plan my food. I share what I plan with someone. It's part of my daily routine, whether I'm at home or traveling. I know what I'm doing with my food. Would I go and sit in McDonald's with a coffee and watch others eating burgers and fries? I just wouldn't, really, unless I was wanting a coffee and that was really the only place I could get one. But I don't think I would put myself through it. I'd certainly get it and then go out with it rather than sitting there, because that strong smell that is just designed to get your hunger going for it. And I wouldn't dawdle outside a bakery. You know, why would I? But parties or meals out, you know, I often eat before I go and just enjoy the social aspect of it with
time, with drink.
And or I plan what I'll do and do that within my abstinence definition. So grateful to be here. Thank you, Lynn, for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Tony B. in Scotland. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, just to let you know where we are continuing our study of the Big Book, and we're in the chapter Working with Others on page 101, the third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place, and we're sharing on that one paragraph only. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Celine M.
Reva P.
Christine G. in Connecticut.
New Hampshire.
Okay, I heard Celine M. and Reva P. and somebody from New Hampshire.
Jane F.
Was that Jane Christine. F?
Jane S. is in Sparks.
Okay, and Christine?
And Leah.
And
G.
Leah?
Natalie S.
Okay, I've got Celine M., Reva P., Jane S., Christine, Leah. Who did I miss, please?
Natalie S.
Natalie. All right, let's work with that lineup and we'll see how we do. So Celine M., please go ahead, followed by Reva P. Good morning, Celine.
Good morning. This is Celine M., recovered compulsive overeater. So interesting. I've been in the program a little past 2 years, and I've had to travel quite a bit, you know, and it was very disconcerting to think, like, how am I going to fly, as people have mentioned. But I was really fortunate to be neutral about, you know, sugar, flour, and pasta, and I spent 2 weeks in Italy and didn't have any of it. And some of my fellow, you know, fellows say, like, oh, my gosh, that sounds really challenging. But I had the best time. And the one memory that came up for me today, I leaned heavier into the program when I've traveled to places for extended periods of time. So I'm more careful about my food plan, more careful about going to meetings, you know, in Thailand, 4 a.m, you know, there was 4 p.m. in U.S., you know, so I really leaned heavier into it. I remember taking photographs. My friends that traveled with us were eating all of these delicacies, and I just grabbed my camera and found the most glorious pictures of these windows filled with these goodies, but I had no interest in them, but I did appreciate them, and I do appreciate other people enjoying whatever they enjoy. And I just am incredibly grateful that I was able to do that. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Celine M. Reva P., please go ahead, followed by... Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, before I came into OA, whether I went somewhere or didn't, it was all about the food. I either went places because I wanted that binge food, that dessert, or I didn't go places because I was in a restricting mode that day. And I remember these pages are really special to me because when I first came into program, and I'm pretty sure I had been abstinent and had worked the steps for just a short while, I was invited to a wedding, and I was really scared. Do I go? Do I not go? And I remember my sponsor referred me to pages 100 to 103 and had me read those. And I love these guidelines because for me, the whole point of working the first 11 steps is to get out there and play the game, right? Like we're in the huddle and then like a football game, and then I go out and I play the game and I'm helpful and useful as God guides me in the rooms and outside the room. So I love this guideline about, you know, pausing and asking God, is there a legitimate reason? Because God tells me if I'm supposed to go there or not, not me and not anybody else. And then once I'm thinking there's a legitimate reason, I got into another snag because it was all about me again. And what do people think of me? And what are they thinking about my body? And I love the paragraphs that follow that tell me, no, when I go, what is my motive? My motive is usefulness, yet again, helpfulness, yet again. How do I contribute? Who can I help there? How do I contribute by just celebrating with other people's celebrations, whatever it is? Because I, too, did not show up physically, mentally, emotionally when I was locked with this disease. And I love in the AA 12 and 12 that it tells me that the whole spirit of step 12 is the joy of living, getting out there and participating. And that I have now become able to feel, believe, and do that which I could not do before on my unaided strength and resources alone. And that includes the food neutrality, but that includes so much more. Really, you know, I have a friend who calls it suiting up and showing up. And God really tells me what to do, where to do, when. And it's such a more pleasant way to live and participate in social events. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Next up is Jane F., followed by Christine. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning. My name is Jane S. is in Sparks, and I'm currently hailing, I cannot believe I'm saying this out loud, but from Italy, live and intact and neutral. So full of gratitude. I cannot believe that this is the first meeting that I've shared on for a few weeks. Because I have been traveling and I've been working, and God gave me this amazing gift. And I was here in Italy last year at this time doing the same thing I did this year, but I ate my way through Italy last year. And I got home and I got to tell you, God brought me to my knees and I surrendered and I got a sponsor and I got into the step work. And I remember asking my sponsor, how the heck am I going to ever go to Italy next year and not eat pizza and not eat gelato? And she just looked at me and she said, when are you going? And I said, well, a year from now. And she said, well, how about we just work on the steps? And all I can say is thank God I did, because all I've ever heard about the big book is that the big book will bring us to God. And that is what's happened to me. God has kept me safe and protected for the last few weeks. I came over here on a trip with my gentleman friend. I'm the chef for a group, and I cooked all this food. I went shopping for all this food, and there's wine and booze and all this stuff. I'm also an alcoholic, and I got to tell you, I had no craving, no obsession, and I could not do my program the way I normally do it at home because I was working, and it was very interesting. The last words that my sponsor said to me or suggested to me before I left, actually, when I got over here and said, I can't even do my night review because I don't have internet, and I was, there were some things that I wasn't able to do. She said, just stay connected to God as closely as you can. And I have come to a place where I just, in all my years of recovery and trying to recover and trying to do it my way and trying to figure it out, I've never been this connected. And, it was said earlier on that, you know, it's about the joy of living. You know, I can go anywhere, just like it says in the big book, those first men in the early years when they went to the trenches and they were in World War II and they all stayed sober. I've stayed abstinent. I've stayed neutral. I've stayed happy, joyous, and free. I've had struggles. Yes, I have. I've had to do 10 steps. I've had to reach out, and I can't always reach out. Sometimes they have to go within and go to God. And, you know, this mercy and grace that God has given me is just, I cannot even describe the peace and serenity that it has given me. And I will continue to honor this gift in this neutrality by working this program. And when I get back home, I'm going to get another new sponsee. I have a sponsee working through the steps right now.
Please.
I have a sponsee. Thank you. In the other program, and I will just continue to honor everything that's been given to me and do what God is teaching me to do. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Now we have Christine, followed by Leah. Good morning, Christine, and can we have the initial of your last name, please, and where you're calling from?
Good morning. This is Christine G. in Connecticut, and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this paragraph is showing me the stark difference between being in my disease and being in recovery, because everywhere I would go in the past, whether it was something I wanted to do or not, it was about like what was I going to eat, what was going to be there. And even if I wasn't overtly thinking those thoughts, it would be there, present in my mind, always. And the other thing this brought up for me is, you know, I was talking with another fellow yesterday and shared how I'm also like a food pusher. My obsession was with food can still show up, you know, because if I have people here and I'm hosting people, or even if I'm just cooking meals for my sons, you know, I can notice my mind noticing them eating and looking for their effect. And I need to be aware of that. That's something I just became, you know, I always kind of joked about it, but now I'm aware like, yeah, that's really looking for an effect from the food vicariously. And I don't do that all the time, but when it shows up, it's a pretty significant piece of obsession, you know. And my kids will look at me like, well, you're crazy, you know, because they'll say, is that good? Or Do you want more? And I so appreciate that when I'm in my program, my recovery progresses and God continues to reveal more and more and more to me. And because of that reason, and only because of that reason, I do feel safe. But I also need to remain very, very humble and honest, because this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And it can just show up. And it will try to show up in different ways. But I feel safe and protected because I'm working my steps every day, and I'm staying close to God, and I'm practicing these principles. And with that, I pass. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you, Christine G. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Leah, followed by Natalie S. Good morning, Leah. And if you could give us the initial of your last name, please, and where you're calling from.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm coming from upstate New York. I spent a long weekend over there. I was with family, and I was in different settings, and I was between a lot of food and a lot of people and a lot of socializing. But I was with dear family that I really treasured. And I was able to take my little grandson, who's 2.5 years old, down the road to a park. And he was like, so cool. Are you okay, Grandma, walking this uphill and downhill? Like, he was concerned. This little kid was concerned about me. And we had so much fun. But the point I want to bring out is that I was full of emotions. Before I had left for this long weekend, I got a phone call about my son being in a pretty critical condition. And I was already there. And there was no way I was going to travel back to Brooklyn. And I was really in a turmoil. And I realized the whole world is one big world. This program is all over the world. And all I can do at this point is pray. And if I would be right next to my son, I would pray with him. And I would tell him how much I love him. And I sort of prayed that I'm telling you how much I love you, and I hope you get better. And this was a miracle, because this program teaches me how to behave with all different kind of emotions, to enjoy where I can enjoy, to cry when I have to cry, and to actually reach out to God at every certain time. And I came back, and he's feeling a little bit better. And that's so relieving. But I'll tell you, it did pass my mind that he would not be feeling better. And with having that also in mind, all that food that I was surrounded by, no, it did not calm me. And actually,
time, please.
Sure. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. And Natalie S., it's your turn, and you've got 2 minutes. So welcome, Natalie.
Thanks, Lynn. Yep, this is Natalie S. from Indiana. And this past weekend, so I'll just start by saying I have 5 children in their 20s, and so does my brother. And we're in the season of weddings and babies and all that. And a couple, a year and a half ago, the first one got married, my brother's son, and I went down for this wedding in the same place I went this time. And I want to share briefly about the differences between then and now. I've been in the program about 2.5 years, faced lots of different calamities, but
in this particular instance, I went down and I wanted to be served. I was recovered, but still recovering. I was working the steps, but hadn't had a deep spiritual connection. God was working on me. And so, for example, for the rehearsal and the wedding, I approached my brother and sister and said, well, this is the only food I can eat. And I was so obsessed about how I looked and what I had to do and about me, me, me. I went down this weekend and it was a completely different experience, thanks be to God. I went down and on the drive down, what did I do differently? I reset my expectations. I went down with the intention, as people have been sharing, to be present. That was all I could do. My children were going to be there, that some of the relationships are awful. And I thought, you know what? I am going there to celebrate my niece and her new husband. When I got down there, I called the caterers myself. I took responsibility for my recovery, my physical recovery, and prepared the way so that I would have what I needed based on the foods that they were preparing. Okay, what are you bringing and what can I have and are you able to prepare it this way? And I was fully prepared for a no. So I was taking care of my physical needs so that I could be spiritually present. And I stayed so connected to the program and to God. Nothing changed in my life except that there was a rehearsal dinner at 6 and a wedding at 4 followed by a reception. And then a brunch the next day. And I'll close by saying there were so many gifts from my children that were unexpected by God that were given to me. I'm just so grateful for these tools. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Natalie. Yes. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Monday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today's meeting, Wednesday, June the 4th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 22495. That's 22495. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Susan G., could you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Happy to do it, Lynn. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.